Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Margaret, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of Route Mobile Limited, hosted by Concept Investor Relations, to discuss its Q4 and FY22 results. We have with us today Mr. Rajdeep Kumar Gupta, Managing Director and Group CEO, Mr. Gautam Badalia, Group Chief Strategy Officer and Chief Investor Relations Officer, Mr. Suresh Jankar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. John Owen, CEO, Europe and America. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve certain risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 2 of the presentation for the detailed disclaimer. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then 0 on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajdeep Kumar Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good evening, everyone. I want to start by wishing all of you a good health and prosperity. We have had another strong quarter. In fact, we have yet again posted our best quarterly revenue. It gives me immense pleasure to highlight that we have outperformed our revenue growth guidance of 30% revenue growth in FY22. We have demonstrated an industry-leading growth rate of 42% in FY22. Adjusted to our acquisition, our organic revenue have grown by 33% year-on-year basis. Heading into FY23, we are already witnessing very strong growth momentum, and we are confident of delivering at least 40% year-on-year growth in FY23. The following are some of the key highlights of our quarter gone by. India continues to be a very strong and important market for RML, and we are aggressively gaining market share. We have onboarded number of large clients in the quarter gone by, and including few large BFSI clients. Route Mobile UK Limited was listed one of the top 3 fastest growing Indian companies in United Kingdom. We completed the acquisition of MRM during the quarter gone by. MRM acquisition will help expand Route Mobile's reach to new geographies, primarily Europe, South Africa and Japan. We have recently signed business transfer agreement with DLaser to acquire DLT, trusted blockchain and AI-powered solution. The closure of this transaction is subject to completion of condition precedents, including the outcome of an ongoing arbitration proceedings. Route Mobile Limited has also set up a dedicated SBU for short code 10DLC toll-free messaging and intend to scale it globally for P2A messaging. We have signed 3 new firewall contracts in quarter Q4 22. We participated in events like MWC Barcelona, Jitech Dubai and others. Further, after almost 2 years of a pandemic, we conducted our global team meet at Goa as a part of our EOP planning, reward and recognition of our employees, and the forum to socialize with our employees in person, including the employees of the companies acquired during the last 2 years. In terms of hiring, we have added 21 employees in Mesavian to expand our reach in adjacent markets like Mexico, Chile and Brazil. We believe this investment will start to yield result for us in Q3 FY23 onwards in terms of deepening our penetration in Latin market. Now, some of these measures have naturally had some impact on our operating overheads, but we believe margins will show markup improvement in our forthcoming quarters. In terms of our EBITDA margin, we are confident of delivering a 150 basis point improvement in our EBITDA margin in FY23. In terms of our award and recognition, Route Mobile won gold at the 2020 Juniper Research Report. And finally, based on our good performance in 21-22, the Board of Directors has approved a final dividend of ₹2 per share. I will now turn over to Gautam to take us through the financials. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Rajdeep. Good evening, everyone. Hope you and your family are safe and fine. We've already uploaded our quarterly earnings presentation on our website as well as the stock exchange websites. Hope you had a chance to go through them. We've also uploaded a follow-on note today to just clarify certain one-off items. Hope you had a chance to go through them as well. I'll quickly summarize our financial and operating performance during Q4 FY22 and for the full year FY22 before opening the floor for Q&A. The key takeaway from our financial performance in Q4 FY22 has been the strong revenue growth momentum as highlighted by Razdeep. On a YOY basis, we have demonstrated a revenue growth of 73%, and on Q-on-Q basis, we have demonstrated a revenue growth of 11%. In fact, our exit monthly revenue run rate for the month of March 2022 was around INR 2620 million. And we believe FY23 will continue to witness similar growth momentum. While there is seasonality in the business, but the endeavor will be to maintain the monthly run rate clocked in March 2022. In volume terms, we processed over 18 billion billable transactions in Q4, which is again the highest quarterly billable volumes processed by us till date. We continue to, as Razdeep highlighted, we continue to gain significant market share in one of our very key markets, that is India. And in FY23, our revenues coming from termination in India, both domestic and international, should be northwards of US$175 million. The contraction in EBITDA margin from 14.2% in Q4 FY21 and 13.7% in Q3 FY22 to 11.1% in Q4 FY22 is partially attributable to the seasonality of the business, especially of Masivian and certain one-off expenses. Q4 FY21, which incidentally happens to be Q1 CY22 for Masivian, historically accounts for around 20% of their annual revenue, and they have very high fixed overheads, which is largely the human capital cost. As revenues ramp up, operating leverage kicks in. So as they head into the financial year, the performance of the business starts to improve drastically. We have also uploaded an annexure highlighting the impact of this seasonality in the workings. Further, we believe LATAM is a very high margin market, and some of the micro markets within LATAM are massively underpenetrated and are at this point in time undergoing digital transformation. Hence, we have invested in expanding our sales teams in Chile, Mexico, and Brazil, which we have identified as key markets for growth within LATAM. The returns from this incremental investment should start accruing to us from Q3 FY23 onwards. Further, there were certain operating expenses which totaled to about 55 million in INR terms, which pertain to the conferences, events like MWC Barcelona, Gitex Dubai, events, and an annual global employee meet for the EOP planning, rewards and recognition for employees. And within this, we've also invited all the employees from other acquired entities. So ideally, all of these costs would have been incurred or provisioned for across the quarters, but the impact was there only in Q4 FY22. So to that extent, we have kind of uploaded a low note which captures the impact of the aforesaid on our EBITDA margin for the quarter gone by. With this backdrop, let me walk you through our financial performance. In terms of Q4 FY22 performance, revenue from operations grew by 72.7% from 3624 million in Q4 FY21 to 6261 million in Q4 FY22. There was a sequential growth of 11.2%. Billable transactions increased from 9 billion in Q4 FY21 and 16 billion in Q3 FY22 to 18 billion in Q4 FY22. Average realization per billable transactions remained stable at 35 paisa in Q4 FY21 as compared to the last quarter. However, it reduced from 41 paisa in Q4 FY21 to 35 paisa, owing to lower average realization per billable transaction in Masivian and lower email average realization. Gross profit margin remained stable at 21% in Q4 FY22. In terms of operating overheads, there was also a non-cash charge of INR 95 million owing to the ESOPs that were granted in the previous quarter. Adjusted for that and some of the reasons mentioned above, EBITDA grew by 35.3% from 515 million in Q4 FY21 to 697 million in Q4 FY22. Sequentially, EBITDA declined by 9.7% from 772 million in Q3 FY22 to 697 million in Q4 FY22 owing to reasons mentioned above. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 16%. However, because of tax refund received in 365 Squared and deferred tax credit, overall tax amount in Q4 was negative 0.6 million. Adjusted profit for tax grew by 59.2% from 398 million in Q4 FY21 to 634 million in Q4 FY22 as compared to 620 million in Q3 FY22. Adjusted profit margin was at 10.1% in Q4 FY22 as against 11% in Q3 FY22 and 11% in Q4 FY21. Now coming to the full year performance, revenue from operations grew by 42.4% from 14,062 million in FY21 to 20,020 million in FY22. In terms of certain KPIs, billable transactions increased from 32 billion in FY21 to 52 billion in FY22. Average realization per billable transaction was 38 paisa in FY22 as against 44 paisa in FY21, and this decline was pursuant to the lower realizations in Masivian and the lower email average realization. We had a net revenue retention of 134% as highlighted in slide 21 of the earnings update. We added over 180 new customers in Q4 FY22 across all products. Gross profit margin expanded from 19.7% in FY21 to 21% in FY22. EBITDA grew by 46.7% from 1756 million in FY21 to 2576 million in FY22. In terms of operating leverage, EBITDA as a percentage of gross profit was 63% in FY21 and 61% in FY22. EBITDA margin expanded from 12.5% in FY21 to 12.9% in FY22. Effective tax rate for the full year in FY22 was 13% as against 18% for reasons mentioned above. Adjusted profit for tax grew by 40.6% from 1483 million in FY21 to 2085 million in adjusted tax margin was at 10.4% in FY22 to 10.5% in FY21. Attrition rate has increased from 11% in FY21 to 21% in FY22. Net cash and cash equivalent on the books was 10262 million as on 31st March 2022. CFO to EBITDA conversion was 52% in FY22. So at the end of the 6 months, as on 30th September, the CFO to EBITDA was negative. So the business has significantly transformed in terms of the CFO to EBITDA conversion. Average receivable days was 57 days in FY22. We've excluded in this analysis the receivables from Mr. Messaging, Messivian and Intertelico because these were acquired recently. Average payable days increased from 80 days to 86 days in FY22. We onboarded 174 new employees in FY22. And just to kind of give some perspective on the amortization related to some of to all the acquisitions that we have done. So we estimate in FY23, the overall amortization impact will be around 580 million. And the interest cost, again, as part of the purchase price allocation, will be around 140 million for FY23. With these highlights, we open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Pritesh Chetta from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. On the cash conversion cycle and on the working capital cycle, there is a big change post these acquisitions. Whatever you have shown in the presentation...
Can I interrupt you, Mr. Chetta, but your audio is not very clear. Can you please move the mouthpiece a little further from yourself and then speak?
Is it clear now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So, post the acquisition, there is a significant change in the working capital cycle, the receivable days, and the cash flow conversion. What you have shown in the presentation is whatever 57 days, but you know, when we try to look at from the balance sheet, it seems to suggest that the receivable days is about 87-88 days. So my question here is that is this the conversions that the working capital cycle on the receivable side we have to look at, and when we are trying to look at the balance sheet change in receivable days and payable days and trying to correlate with the cash flows, you know, they aren't tallying. So is there anything that you want to highlight? So this is my question one, and my question two is, you know, all this time we've been giving growth guidance on revenue and a certain margin guidance. You know, when I'm trying to look at the per transaction EBITDA number and the total transaction number, isn't it that we should actually look at that particular area? And post Messivian and all these acquisitions, there is a drop in realization. Correspondingly, you know, there is a drop in EBITDA per transaction. So that's about a little shade than 4 paise. Is that the number that we should look forward?
Sure. So coming to your query on receivables, this is Gautam here. The reason why we kind of excluded Messivian, Mr. Messaging and Interteleco was because of they being acquired, I mean, for very limited, I mean, so they were there on the balance sheet for very limited time frame. So if we were to kind of do the receivable analysis for each of them individually, Messivian on an annualized basis, the DSO days will be about 48 days. For Mr. Messaging, it will be about 54 days. For Interteleco, it will be about 38 days. So at a blended level, it will, our DSO days wouldn't, from
go up, in fact, it will come down.
It will come down marginally, that's correct.
Okay. So that answers the first part of the question.
Yes.
Within that, I asked that why does your cash flow and the balance sheet change in receivable and change in payable doesn't match?
Sorry, what is this? If you can just repeat your question.
So if you do a simple change in from last year to this year, the change in debtors is about 200 plus crores. And the change in payable is about 150 plus crores. But when you try to look at the cash flow statement, the numbers are completely different.
Sure, we can take this offline. But I mean, the payables also have certain element which is there in other current financial liabilities, which is outstanding expenses. So maybe the difference could be owing to that, but we can definitely discuss this offline and close this out.
Okay, no problem. And the other question was on the profitability side, less than 4 paise is what we see this quarter. So when you're giving your guidance on revenue at 262 crores and, you know, your guidance on 30% growth and margin guidance, isn't it that you should be actually giving the billable transaction guidance and the corresponding EBITDA per transaction guidance? What would be the direction there?
Yes, Satish, okay. Hi, Raj. I think it is very tough to give that kind of a guidance. You know, like, to be honest, it is not so easy because there are multiple customers and different pricing. You know, so I think it is always better to just get the analysis on quarter-on-quarter basis on this.
Okay, I'll take this offline as well. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions on revenues and then on the margin. So firstly, on revenues, Mr. Messaging, I think this quarter you reported almost 6.5 million euros, and I guess it was integrated only for a month. So the run rate seems to be far ahead of the 56.5 million euros of CY21. Does this have some sort of a strong seasonality here that we should be mindful of and expect lower full-year revenue there, or how should we be thinking about the run rate considering what we integrated in the month of March?
So, Ashish Rajdeep here, and I think Mr. Messaging performance is, I think we are very much sure that they will continue with the same kind of revenue on a monthly basis.
Okay. So, Rajdeep, actually, I am a bit confused with respect to the conservatism on your revenue guidance, because you mentioned that you closed March with 262 crores. Annualizing that number itself is in excess of 3,100 crores, and you're guiding for a somewhere close to at least 2,800 crores kind of revenues.
Oh, I think we're guiding, you're right. So, see, Ashish, we are guiding 40% growth, right? And based on our last so many quarters, so many years' performance, I think we always overachieve our numbers. You may take that as a conservative number for sure, but I think 40% growth is also beyond the industry growth. So, I think it's better to guide at least 40% as a fixed growth rate, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand that, Rajiv. So, I mean, the question really was twofold.
Ashish, if I can just add, so there is some amount of seasonality in the business, but definitely the endeavor will be to maintain that 262 crore March run rate. But from a guidance perspective, we want to be conservative and hence that 40%, but the endeavor is definitely to stick to that 262 crore monthly run rate that we have clocked in March.
Fair enough. Because where I was coming from was that March, if anything, had a weaker seasonality, which must have been only getting 20% of the revenues in the quarter. And you also have your products business, which keeps growing at a very healthy rate. So I thought there was more to come in terms of growth. That was where I was coming from. And plus, last year, Rajdeep, like you had called out a 30% growth rate, which was organic, and you ended up exceeding that. Would you want to call out this time around as well, considering the number of pieces that are getting integrated in the business, as to how are you looking at the organic growth run rate? Can that kind of match the 33% momentum we saw last year, or any thoughts on that?
Definitely, yes, Ashish. I think organic growth will definitely be at the same rate, so you can take that as a, yeah.
Understood. And on the EBITDA margin guidance, you mentioned that you're confident of 150 basis points improvement in FY23. Should we read this improvement on the adjusted EBITDA margin that you report of 12.9%, or would this include maybe some of the tail-offs of ESOP charges? How should we be thinking of it?
Yeah, so on the adjusted EBITDA margin, it will get reflected on both accounts. There will be some benefit because of the ESOP charge, gradually kind of plateauing and then gradually tapering off. But on both counts, I think we should be able to demonstrate a 150 basis point improvement.
Understood. And then, should this be front-ended, considering that March is the quarter when you generally see this seasonal weakness on the back of a high third quarter? So are you, just how are you expecting the trajectory to build there on the margins? Are there some immediate recouping of some of the one-off costs that you highlighted in your opening remarks, which should see our EBITDA margins improve much more in the first half? Or how are you kind of thinking about the trajectory through the course of the year?
Yeah, some of those expenses were definitely, skewed in Q4. So some of that benefit will definitely kick in. Accounting practice, we will be provisioning for some of this cost, from a overall year perspective. So some impact will be there, in terms of that cost, being there in Q1 FY23 as well. And for Massivian, we have kind of invested into the employees, have hired the new employees, expanded the sales team into the new geographies. So to that extent, fruits of that investment, will start coming in from Q3. So to that extent, Massivian will be slightly muted, but significantly better than the Q4 performance that was there. And for them, Q3 and Q4 happens to be the best. So incidentally, for the 50 days, of Massivian's performance in December, November and December, we have done close to 22-23% EBITDA margin. So that is the trajectory, that is a ramp-up that happens over a period of time within Massivian. John, I don't know if you want to add something around the Massivian piece.
Yeah, I think You've explained it very well. There's some seasonality because they're coming into their first quarter, which is our fourth quarter. But that will smooth out. We've also made some, you know, conscious decisions to go into new markets, Mexico, Peru, Chile. And that will grow into that cost base over the next 6 months. So you're right, the EBIT will actually hold up and improve and expand as we go through and we build momentum. But I think the clear message is both Mr. Messaging and Masivian and the core Route Mobile, our revenue base is very robust. It's now about driving the margin levers, which scale will give us, integrations will give us, and just growing into that cost structure.
Right. So, John, Owen, just want, on this Masivian bit, so last quarter you had reported the margins were in excess of 23%. And this quarter, I think it's come down all the way to 4%. There's seasonality there, some of these investments. So just how should we think about the full year margin trajectory? I mean, obviously, seasonally, there are a lot of these variations. But if you could just help us understand this a little bit better, if you could explain what was the EBITDA margin for the full year last year for Masivian, and post these investments, how should the full year trajectory be looked at?
Okay, I'll let Gotham go through the full-year EBIT sort of forecast. But what I will say is it will follow the same trajectory as last year. So we will be trailing or planning up to that sort of high teens outcome in the year. But obviously, it doesn't have the linearity that lots of other businesses have where you hit it every quarter. We've also made those investment decisions which actually provide a drag in Q4 and probably a little bit into Q1. But again, on a quarterly basis, that margin expansion will accelerate in the second half of the year. I'll sort of let Gotham talk about comparisons to last year and this year and next year.
Sure. So, Ashish, last year, Masivian had clocked a 16% EBITDA margin at a portfolio level for the full financial year.
Okay. And you're saying that can be matched despite the investment this year?
Yes. I mean, so the ramp-up that we are expecting is around the Q3. So definitely some amount of that will play out.
Understood. One last question from my side. Just to understand a little bit on the gross margin trajectory. So your gross margin in 4Q FY21 was 22%. After which we've had the acquisition of Masivian come in at a 40% plus gross margin, and we saw MRM one full month, which was also additive, at least as far as 4Q FY22 goes. And despite what we saw was that the gross margin in 4Q22 has actually declined by 80 basis points, which would mean that the impact on standalone gross margin decline on a YOY basis has been even higher. Could you just break that out in terms of what's driving that, considering that you've mentioned that at least the bill rates or the per transaction realizations on a standalone business are not very different. So on the gross margin trajectory, why would that be down so significantly YOY?
Sure. So Ashish, that is largely attributable to a few large accounts, okay, where there are some volume-based discounts. But they give us massive scale, and because of that scale, because of the discounts that's told out because of the volume commitment that they have, their gross margin happens to be slightly lower than the portfolio average, and that has actually led to some amount of contraction in terms of Route Mobile's gross margin.
Understood. That would be the only factor largely in that.
Yes, that's the reason.
Okay. That's clear. Thanks so much for taking my questions, and wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Singhania from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for, a lot of clarifications. A few things, on one hand, we are talking about this run rate of 262 crores being maintained, and which one of the other, participants also mentioned. Second, we have also talked about the fact that we have invested heavily in new geographies, and John mentioned Chile and Mexico and so on and so forth. And obviously, if we have invested, the revenue should only ramp up there. And third is, it's a normal, I would say, nature of the business that month on month, the volume automatically increases. And also we have a large sales team, which is not going to sit on their backside. Obviously, they would also have targets of getting new businesses. So given all this, I think 262 into 12, and plus there should be an additional thing. And Rajdeep, you did mention that the domestic business itself should grow at 30% plus. And therefore, if you just add Messivian and Mr. Messaging, I think the revenue growth comes to at least 70-75%. Can you just clarify on these points?
Hi, sir. So just to kind of give some perspective, you are absolutely right in your assessment. I think the internal target is much higher than the 3200 crore, I think, which if you were to analyze the 262 crores, I mean, it is between 31 to 3200 crores. Internal targets are definitely higher than that. There is some amount of seasonality in the business, I mean, which happens usually around Q2. But having said that, I mean, the endeavor is definitely to maintain this March run rate. And pile on to the growth, we're seeing significant momentum in terms of the Indian penetration market share. We've been able to grab significant market share. There are some large client wins that have happened. So so that definitely the target is to achieve that 3200 crore number plus some growth on top of it.
Sure. And the second thing, you know, you mentioned 150 basis point increase in margin. At the same time, obviously, as you mentioned, it will be ramping up gradually. So if you take the whole year EBITDA margin to be 150 basis point higher than current year's whole year, can you guide us what would be the exit EBITDA margin for March 23 quarter? It should be significantly higher than 14-15%, right, if it is going to scale up gradually, and the average EBITDA margin is going to be 13.5%.
Sure. So, operating leverage will kick in. So, for Q4, so largely, if you look at it, except for Messivian, most of the other pieces, I think, will function at whatever will be the average EBITDA margin for the year. There will be some operating leverage because of scale advantage. So it should be around 13% odd EBITDA margin that we should, 13.5% EBITDA margin for March quarter.
Oh. So it will be more or less stable for the whole year.
It will be more or less stable except for Q1, where there will be some impact because of the Messivian piece. But largely it will be stable.
Right. And the last
Just to add, Sunil Bhai, for enterprise customers, the life cycle is, I think, it's 3 to 4 months to just onboard a customer with a large scale, you know. Like, so if you consider a growth of 70%, probably that is not the right way to say it, because if you talk about India market also, we need to just focus on 5 to 6 large customers to onboard them,
right,
as far as what we have done also. So I think we need to also consider the how long the one customer onboarding is going to take. And in India, normally, large customer is taking about 3 to 4 months.
No, got it. One last thing, Rajdeep sir, you know, we already have cash in our books and we will be generating a lot of cash. Is our acquisition done, or we would still be looking at acquisitions?
So, Sunil Bhai, it's a good question. To be honest, it's a good question, because I would like to share some of the thought process. You know, like, as we all see, the digital acceleration and digital penetration is growing day by day. And there are lots of digital transactions going to happen in coming days as well. But in the same area, there is a digital fraud is also going to happen. So we are definitely looking out to do something in digital fraud area or domain, where we want to make sure we work on a mobile identity as a services, as a offering in our portfolio. So probably we are looking out to acquire something in voice and mobile identity to complete our entire stack.
Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. Best wishes for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the EBITDA margin. If I look at the cost excluding Messivian for this quarter, that has significantly increased. So how should we see that trajectory for the fourth employee cost for Blue Mobile? And Okay, you did explain a bit about the 150 basis point margin expansion, for the next quarter, Masivian EBITDA margin will go from 4% to 23% in a more staggered manner, or it will be a step jump initially and then subsequently that will be done.
Yeah. So, hi Pranav. So I'll just address the second question first. So Masivian, the ramp up happens gradually. Q3 and Q4 happens to be their best quarter. So Q4 last year they did about 23% EBITDA margin. Q3 they did about 18%. Q2 this year, I mean, we are expecting it to be around 10% EBITDA margin, and then gradually ramp that to about 18% and then over 20% EBITDA margin for the full year. Coming back to your the first query on the cost side, so some of the costs, I mean, actually were one time, largely cost around the event that we did, the Global Meet event, and some of those conferences that we participated.
So, Gautam, I'm actually referring to the attachment which you distributed later, so which basically shows that the core employee cost on a quarter-on-quarter basis, ex of Masivian, is up 33%. So that I'm trying to understand why the employee cost in this quarter itself has gone up so dramatically.
Pranav, you're asking about Masivian or you're asking about ex of Masivian?
No, ex of Masivian.
Ex of Masivian. Okay, yeah. So there were some variable components of the salary which got integrated into this. Then in terms of employee benefit expenses, there was this annual meet, which is part of the staff welfare expenses, which is accounted for in the employee benefit expense.
Okay, because I thought that, 2.5 crore rupees employee, the staff welfare cost is added separately. And
No, that's part of the employee benefit expense.
Okay.
The MWC conference and all those things, they are part of the other expenses.
Sure. So on a run rate basis, how much, we should be assuming the employee expenses except Masivian? It should trend down because some of these benefits will not be there. On absolute basis, ex of Mr. Messaging and Masivian, we should see Q1 FY23 employee cost to be lower, right?
That's correct.
So
the
margin should
That's
come
correct.
Back. Okay. Rajdeep has answered the question on acquisition, but just to get a little...
Pranav,
the voice
audio
is breaking.
Is not clear. Yes, Pranav, your audio is not clear. It's breaking up.
Okay. Sir, I just wanted to ask about acquisition.
Really sorry, Pranav, your audio is not clear. I would just request you to please check your phone line and join back, and we will put your question quickly as you join. Please check your phone line. It's not clear. In the meanwhile, we'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Manik Taneja from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
So you're sounding a bit low. If you can come closer to the phone or speak a bit louder.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So thank you for the opportunity. Some of my questions have already been answered. I just wanted to pick your brains around what you're seeing with in the Latin American market, because some of your global peers have suggested increase in competitive intensity in Brazil, which is the biggest market there. That's question number one. And the second question was with regards to the adoption for WhatsApp business messaging. If you could help us understand how are you seeing this progress for the next 12 months? And how should we understand the lower growth or the relatively muted growth for the new product sales in Q for us? Thank you.
Anik, hi, Rajdeep here. I think probably when you track down Latin America, I think we have to consider two different parts in Latin America, one Spanish-speaking countries and one Portuguese-speaking countries. So Brazil, I think we do know there are lots of competition, and we are not focusing right now big way in a Brazil market, but our major market is Colombia, Peru, Chile, and Mexico, which is especially a Spanish-speaking countries, and where we have a set of people, like almost 210 people working with Masivian. And we recently increased our team in Mexico and Chile. So I think our focus is going to be more on a Spanish-speaking Latin market rather than going to the Portuguese market as of now.
Sure. And you don't see any increase in competitive intensity there?
Yeah, just to add, I think the competitive intensity is largely there in Brazil at this point in time. There are a lot of other virgin markets in Latin where we believe there is a lot of potential, and hence we are expanding our wings into those markets.
I think just to build on that story, because of we've got a strong enterprise business with Masivian based in Colombia and Peru, it gives us a lower risk, lower cost of entry into places like Mexico, which is probably 10 times bigger than Colombia, and also then down into Chile, which is, again, a strong economy. So I think we've got, you know, the acquisition of Masivian, it's not about just cut and pasting. We've now got a Spanish-speaking market leader with good reference accounts, good people. We're now putting sales teams and offices into those big markets that are culturally aligned to the Colombian and the Spanish-speaking, and that's where we're going to probably get quicker revenue success in the short term, which is where we've put the cost in. So as a growth strategy, building more organically around the Masivian is the right strategy. If we wanted to look at Brazil, that will be a different strategy, and that's, again, under consideration, but it won't come out of the Masivian acquisition.
Thank you. And my second question was around the WhatsApp. What are you seeing with WhatsApp business messaging?
So let me just give a brief about probably. Manik, if you just see our quarterly revenue growth in a new product, you know, like it is not just WhatsApp, but RCS and Viber and Voice. I think we have done almost over $11 million revenue from new product in last financial year. And the kind of traction we are of having not only in India market, but in almost all the global market where we are present right now, including Latin America as well. So all our stack is now being used by Masivian to go and sell to their existing customer base. So we do see lots of opportunity of cross-sell and upsell with Masivian acquisition because we already have a stack which is required in those markets, which we are directly handing over to Masivian team to go and sell in the market. So we believe that in coming days, Latin America market is going to play a critical role for WhatsApp and other services of new product.
Sure. One last clarification. So like over the course of last 18-24 months, you've enjoyed some pricing this big in segments of the portfolio. Do you see something similar in regards to these new products for the next 12 months?
Manik, your line is not very...
Yes, Manik, your voice was actually breaking. We could not hear your question clearly.
I'll repeat that question. So, can you hear me now?
It's still breaking. It's better, but it's still breaking. Please move to a better reception area if you can and repeat your question. Thank you.
I'll try one last time. Is this better now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was with regards to the course of last 18 months, we've enjoyed some improvement in pricing because of the increases that happened with certain segments. Do you foresee something similar happening over the next 12 months now, especially with regards to the WhatsApp business messaging piece?
Yeah. So, Manik, I'll also try to add to what Rajiv said for the previous question. So, in Q3, I think we have demonstrated significant growth rate in terms of our new product revenue. And Q4, it got a little normalized because the base had increased quite a bit in Q3. So that's one aspect. And further, in February, there was already a price increase by WhatsApp. And that had also some bearing, I mean, in terms of some teething issues that were there at that point in time. So I think now we are fairly stable in terms of the platform and the usage by customers. So we don't envisage any immediate price increase on the WhatsApp front.
Thank you, and all the best in the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Bhandari from Nomura. Please go ahead. Abhishek Bhandari, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Request you to unmute yourself from your handset and proceed with your question. Due to no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Dipesh Mehta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. First, about the acquisition of Teleledger. Can you help us understand rationale behind it? And if you can provide some detail on the arbitration, what is the issue there? Second question is about the salary hike. When we plan to give salary hike, which will impact our employee cost? Thanks.
So, Dipesh, hi, Rajiv here. Just to let you know about the TeleDNA product portfolio, which always goes along with 365 squared. You know, like, so there is a firewall deployment of TeleDNA with Airtel Nigeria. At the same time, they are deployed their SMSCs with Idea Vodafone also. And with Nokia and Ericsson kind of customer they are serving right now. And I think one...
Rajesh, to intervene, just he's asked about TeleLedger, the one that we've signed the definitive agreement.
TeleLedger or TeleLedger, sorry.
TeleLedger.
Okay. So, TeleLedger is more about having the DLT platform because we have a very strong relationship with operators globally, and we believe that in coming days, various part of the world will definitely look for the DLT kind of solution which is implemented already in India. And I think having a blockchain-based DLT platform is definitely one key area where we always believe to have. And with this acquisition, we are going to have access of blockchain-based technology, which is not just a DLT platform, but if you talk about entire telecom ecosystem right now, there is a lot of use cases can be created using blockchain, and we will try to focus completely on creating those kind of use cases with operators where we have a very good inroads and good relationship with them. So I think the idea behind acquiring TeleLedger is to just have a DLT platform and the blockchain capabilities within Route Mobile. Just to share, they have already deployed the DLT platform with Qtel, Indian operator.
Right. I just want to get sense now because that was a decision in-house versus purchase. So create versus purchase, in that I think you selected purchase kind of business. Just want to understand thought process around it. What, why we decided to acquire then organically build it? Because I think their presence is very...
That's a very, very good question. Because there are certain opportunity we have now come up very recently, you know, like, and there are operators who are looking out to do some kind of POC as of now. If we start trying to build it, it will take few months or quarter or year. So we thought instead of building the block by ourselves, let's acquire the company. Because opportunity is there right now, and that we believe that in coming quarters or months, there may be more operators going to adopt a DLT platform.
Okay, and you think India market is enough, or it is largely for international market?
Sorry, can you just repeat your question?
The DLT platform, we think Indian market is an opportunity or is largely for international expansion?
Yeah, India market is an opportunity. My only question is like if operators are allowing multiple aggregators to put their SMSC within their infrastructure, why not to having two different DLTs? And probably if you see a classic example of Airtel, they have IBM and, you know, like other DLT platform. And the same thing goes with other operator also. Probably we can create some kind of option or revenue model which gives the enhancement of increase in their revenue. You know, like, so there are definitely operators are looking out to deploy one more DLT within their network or maybe three more. So you never know.
Understand. And just last part is about the, you mentioned some arbitration. So if you can provide some detail, what is there and by when you expect it to get over? And salary hike, when we plan to do, or we in Q4 we already done. Thank you.
Salary hike, we always have a cycle of salary increment is in April. So there is definitely going to be a salary increase in the month of April. And on arbitration, Gautam, if you want to just highlight.
Yeah. So there is an ongoing arbitration, which is a contractual breach between TeleLedger and a third party. And it's pertaining to some technical know-how and other things. So we'll wait for that arbitration outcome to be concluded, and then we would want to close the transaction. And hence, that conditionality is there as part of the BTA.
Understand. And this salary hike in Q1, do you expect any material impact, or how one should look the impact in Q1?
I don't think it's a material impact. It's going to be there based on the industry standard. That's the base we can expect.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Navandar from Sampada Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Sir, you spoke about how you are seeing a very good traction in new product sales. So, what would you guide for your gross margins for next year or two?
It's very tough to give a product margin guidance because every different product has a different kind of margin set, you know. So, voice may be 70% margin, email can be 75% margin or 80% margin. Same time, RCS can be 50% margin. So I think we cannot give a guidance for the entire new product, but overall we believe that over 40% margin can be considered as a guidance.
Okay, so do you have any internal guidance on how much percentage of your revenue will come from new product sales for FY23, FY24? Have you put any targets internally?
We do have an internal target for ourselves and salespeople, and we believe, Gautam, you want to share that?
Yeah, so I think we guided, I think for the year gone by, we had guided about $10 million. We've been able to close it at about $11 million. So we're looking at doubling this for the year coming year.
So you're expecting a 100% growth?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Bhandari from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, Abhishek.
Okay, thank you. Last time there was some audio problem. Sorry for that. Sir, I have very two simple basic questions. One, what was the organic growth rate for Q4 and entire FY22? And second, there's a lot of confusion around your EBITDA margin improvement. That 150 bps is on Q4 adjusted or FY22 reported. If you can just clarify, that will be helpful.
Sorry. Hi, Abhishek. What was your first query? Sorry, I missed that.
Organic growth rate for Q4 and 22.
Yeah, so organic growth rate, I think we have mentioned it. One second. Yeah, so organic, okay, I have the total number. For the full year, I can give that to you. Just give me some time. We'll give that to you offline, Vijay. So for the quarter gone by, so in Q3 FY22, we had done about 531 crores of organic revenue. And which in Q4 was about 527 crores.
Okay. And on your margin?
YOY, the growth was 45% organic. And Abhishek, what is this? What is the other thing that you asked? Sorry, I missed it.
Number for 23. If you can give that number, 150 bps is on what base? Q4 reported, Q4 adjusted, or FY22
adjusted.
Reported?
The Q4 adjusted number.
Okay, sure. My third question is, you know, Gautam, we are also seeing a lot of slowdown in, you know, many consumer tech apps, you know, which were beneficiary of a lot of leisure time during the COVID period. And that also was, you know, a lot of volumes for many people like us. If you could, you know, share your early thoughts on, are you also seeing, you know, similar kind of thing in your, you know, business profile, or it's too early to call out any slowdown?
I think it's too early. Abhishek, hi, Rajdeep here. It's too early. In fact, we see a massive growth in our volume. If you see compare our last quarter volume to previous quarter, I think our volume is growing, but you are right, but there are some apps, but those apps are very small in terms of volume contribution. But I think it's too early to even think about it.
What I would say, Rajdeep, to build on that is, if you look at our key global customers, those native native internet customers, we're still probably 15 to 20% of their market share. And as we open up new regions, our headroom to grow with those customers increases. So I think you're right in that I wouldn't be giving a forecast, but we have headroom within our business and our relationships to grow.
All right. Thank you and all the best, gentlemen, for coming here.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajdeep Kumar Gupta for closing comments.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone, and have a nice evening. Take care.
Thank you. On behalf of Route Mobile Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Also, if you have any further queries, please send an email to investors@rootmobile.com. or gaurav.g@conceptpr.com. I repeat, if you have any further queries, please send an email to investors@rootmobile.com or gaurav.g@conceptpr.com. Thank you very much for attending this conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.